Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. Norm Borg with you. A lot of hot button issues out there, new rules concerning appeals, preventing frivolous appeals, for example, new claiming rules, the possibility of retraction of race dates. We're going to find out what OHA thinks as we check in with their president, Don Amos. It's a State of the Union interview on this edition of Trot Radio. Don Amos is the president of OHA, and he joins me on the other end of my line to talk about the latest ORC ruling concerning withdrawal of appeals. Don, thanks for coming on short notice.
You're welcome.
What's OHA's take on this? It seems that the commission is trying to, eliminate what could be called frivolous appeals that are then withdrawn. What do you think is behind this? What's OHA's take?
The way I understand it is that person has 10 days to determine whether or not to proceed with an appeal, and then after that 10 days, and it could take up to a month, 2 months, or whatever for the actual hearing to happen. When I guess they look at the overall cost of having an appeal, and if the person goes forward with the appeal, which you'd like to think they would if they thought it was worthwhile after 10 days, if they are successful in their appeal or if they have an appeal, then there's no cost. But the way I understand it is that some people do put in for an appeal after 10 days, and then they don't show up for the appeal. And in the meantime, there's costs for the hearing. When I added them up, it looked like it was getting close to $4,000.
Oh, it's massive.
And so if a person doesn't show up, that's a frivolous approach to it because they got to recognize, you know, the overall expense of doing anything in life. So.
Yeah, it would seem, though, it's also a way, and in fairness to the ORC, it would seem that they're trying to eliminate the gaming of the system. Let's face it, I'm a driver. I've got a few big races coming up next week. I get called up and set down. I know that if I don't appeal, I won't be driving in those big races. So I'm just going to put an appeal, even though I know they've got me dead to rights. So, I can understand the commission's viewpoint on that.
And that's what I understand, and hopefully that's what all our directors would understand, that we have to be responsible once we put in an appeal that you go forward with it.
Well, it sounds like OHA and the ORC are on the same page.
Yes.
Good to know. Yes. Now, you've been on the job for how long now as president of OHA?
Oh, gosh. Was it in December sometime? December,
yeah.
I think.
So, yeah, something like that. Yeah. So, how goes it?
Well, actually, it's been going quite well. As I mentioned when I first had a discussion with you, I said that I'd be focusing more on coming up with solutions and rather than have a confrontational or an adversarial type role.
Oh,
I don't think that's productive. And so on that basis, like even currently, I'm part of the consultation committee working with the ORC on race dates, you know, with the moratorium that was had. But coming up with a framework and a formula that might make sense going forward as far as either adding days or deleting days, right?
Yeah. What's OHA's position on retraction of race dates?
Well, in a generic sense, all owners and all trainers and want race opportunities. However, in a competitive world and also in a competitive entertainment world, it's got to be based on sound economic principles as well. When you go through recessions and when things turn the other way, you've got to also deal with that because, for example, we know Windsor's having some problems because of the border issues and because of the auto business. And so those things have to be addressed. And I'm a big believer that rather than just have a stance that, we don't have any empathy towards that, I think as tracks and as horsemen, we have to work together. So
you're being very flexible, I would have to say, just based on, what I've seen in the history of OHA.
Once again, we emphasize around the table that, the tracks probably will not be happy, whatever you come up with, and on the other side of the token, the horsemen might not be happy with everything either. But if it appears to be fair both up and down, then it's something I think we should explore.
I want to touch on that. You mentioned the tracks, and of course, you've been in management, executive management on the track side. There's been a lot of talk about synthesizing, or rather distilling, how things are run on a province-wide basis, and a lot of it has to do with recommendations made back way back when in the Sadinski report. How would you feel? Now, I'm asking you to wear both hats at the same time, I suppose. If a central power were to say, okay, we're sending our management types to these tracks, you're going to do as we say, and that's that.
Well, actually, we did that when I was working with Magna Entertainment at the time. We set up what we called it.
This is slightly different, though. This is a system where whatever the body is, let's say ORC, says we're sending these managers out to all these different tracks owned by different interests, and they're basically going to run the show. What's your feeling about that?
Well, I don't believe in that because one size doesn't fit all, and there always are extenuating circumstances in each track, in each area. For example, where you reside right now, Rideau, you know, they're doing quite well. They're happy with the status quo. Around our table, there's a lot of tracks like the status quo of what they're doing right now. They're not looking for any date reduction.
So then why would the commission feel it necessary to institute
well,
something
like that? What they're focusing in on, what we're calling customer demand. What does the customer really want, and is there too much racing? So this is where you really got to analyze, you know, the horse population. You got to analyze the opportunities. You got to analyze by, you know, each claiming race right up to through the claiming ranks, and then also through the allowance and also through the stake. Well, there's a lot of work that we have to do, because whatever solution, if we come up with a solution with this, that you have to present it to owners and trainers and breeders to see that it's fair. Because, as you know, being in the business, that when you make a decision to either buy more horses or breed more horses, it's a 4-year cycle from 11 months gestation right through to 2 or 3 year old stage. So, mm-hmm. Whatever you come up with, the tendency might be to have a phased in situation, right?
Right.
So people can adapt and adjust as we go forward. So, but I think it's all healthy, especially working closely with the tracks.
Mm-hmm. One final question: the new claiming rules, for them or against them?
Yeah, I'm sort of neutral on that, and you know, I think they tried the other and what do they call it, in jail for a month or whatever.
Right, 15
and
days.
And then you got to run it for X amount of dollars more. And now they're saying that that's no longer a real issue, and they're going back to maybe the old status quo, right?
I know. My feeling is, you know, if that was a deterrent to, the churning of horses, as it were, and then to the detriment of the horses, taking that rule out now might leave them wide open to that. I know here at Rideau, we go in spurts where it's Kmart Blue Light special time on claimers.
You know? Right. So I think I think what you'd have to do is be flexible both ways. Like, if it does become what you just explained, then, of course, you'd have to adjust accordingly, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think this affects the OHA membership in any direct way that concerns you? Or
I don't think so, mm-hmm. but once again, I haven't heard any reaction from our people.
Yeah, I just don't want to see a whole lot of claiming wars on a mass scale going on at different tracks around the province, because I'll tell you, it can get nasty in the backstretch when that happens. It seems to have a dynamic all its own, and then it evolves or devolves into personal pettiness and wars, and having that little bit of a deterrent might prevent a little bit of gaming in the system, but that's
we had that in California. Now, mind you, it was on the thoroughbred side, but mm-hmm. people were claiming big time and taking them out of the state of California.
Yeah.
And so it really, really, really penalized the horse population. And, of course, that adversely affects the field size. And then field size affects what the customer likes, which is full fields, right?
Right.
And so that we had to implement something out there whereby, you know, we had exactly what was in here before, whereby you had to run it big times, and then you had to run it back in California. Had so many starts, I think, before you could take it out of the country, out of the state.
Well, the claiming game's a tough game. It's this business is tough overall, but we love it. Yep. Don Amos, president of OHA, thank you for this update. You could call it a state of the union, as it were. appreciate you giving us a call and keeping us updated.
Okay, thank you, Norm.